Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the C-Squared podcast with Corey and Curtis. Today, we are joined by the brave soul, Mr. JJ Kozan from The Obelisk, who has decided to, I don't know, maybe he was just really bored today and decided to come on the podcast. But either way, we're super stoked to have him here. He is here to drop some knowledge bombs on you all. So get your notepads out. But before we get going, I do just want to say thank you for joining us and putting up with our shenanigans and tomfoolery today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm humbled by the thought that somebody might take notes, but I would assume maybe not.
Oh, everybody should be taking notes.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll be dropping any noteworthy nuggets of wisdom. I could be.
Oh, well, I'm sure you will.
It's a lot
and,
of pressure.
But for those who may not be familiar with who you are and what you do, because I don't know, some people live under rocks, I guess. I hear tale that that is a thing.
Wait a second. There are plenty of people on the internet who don't know what I do.
Well, for those folks, do you want to go ahead and just give like a brief nutshell version of who you are and what you do?
Sure. For the last 13 years, I have run a rinky-dink, low-stakes music blog called The Obelisk. It is theobelisk.net. It is my baby. It is my life's work. It is not a very popular website, but. They're in a sort of niche within a niche community of heavy underground music. It is reasonably well regarded, and I am incredibly thankful for that. It has grown in the years that I've been doing it in ways that I have not expected. It has come to consume my life in ways that I have not expected. But it is an outlet for me to write, basically, for me, and to talk about music and share music, which is what I love to do.
Cool. So now let's go back in time, JJ. Go through the time machine back way back. So cool. Now how I thought your first job was doing Metal Maniacs, but apparently you had something before that. So you want to kind of go over that a bit, and let's talk about how you got started at Metal Maniacs and kind of go up a little bit in time.
Sure. When I was in college, I did college radio. I went to Seton Hall for the radio station, which is still called WSOU. And in sort of the New Jersey end of the New York media market, is a big deal as far as college radio goes. It's a station of some high standing. And you know, has industry connections and all this and this. And I did college radio when I was there. And while I was in college, I got an internship at the Aquarian Weekly, also based in New Jersey. And from there, while I was still in school from the internship, I got picked up to be a contributing writer and their managing editor. So I was kind of, while I was still in school, I was working full time editing the Aquarian Weekly. And I did that for about 2.5 years. And this is 2003 to 2000, maybe 2002 to 2006. The first time I was at the Aquarian, and then Metal Maniacs was looking for an associate editor, Liz Chivarella Brenner, who I continue to love and have just unending, undying affection and respect for. She now works at Earsplit PR with her husband, Dave. She was the editor of Metal Maniacs when I was there. And she very much took me under her wing and taught me how to find what I'm good at and do that thing and focus on on what I'm most passionate about and write about that. Because before that, I was ignorant enough to think that I could write about whatever. So Liz taught me to specialize, and that's what I learned at Metal Maniacs. Now, this was 2000. By now, it's 2007, 2008. In 2008, the housing market collapsed. There was the financial crisis, and everybody got their bailouts except for Metal Maniacs. And the company that owned Metal Maniacs did not understand or appreciate what Metal Maniacs was or how much it meant to a certain segment of the population, myself included. And they shut it down after losing whatever backing investments they had, because that's how life goes. And so in the beginning of 2009, I started the Obelisk as sort of my way to keep writing, my way to not have to deal with print, with dealing with print media. I was really burnt out on the music industry. I was really disappointed in the way that my career, such as it was, had sort of turned out. And I was really upset at sort of dealing with sales and dealing with ads and all that kind of politicking that goes into commercial publishing. So I took my stack of CDs that were waiting for reviews, and I took them home, and I started the Obelisk. I had a friend named Slevin who set me up with a WordPress site that I still use, and it's been going ever since.
Cool.
Awesome. And so just kind of going more in depth into the Obelisk, you guys have a very kind of specific niche on the types of bands that you like to feature and the types of artists you like to feature. How do you find which bands to cover, and what do you consider like an Obelisk band?
Well, it's just me. I mean, on the site, it's so it's you know, it's just my own something that hits me, basically. You know, I don't have time to cover nearly as much as I would like to, which is something I sort of fight myself on regularly. But I don't know if there's anything so much that's I'm like, oh yeah, this is Obelisk, just as long as something's speaking to me. Tomorrow I'm doing a video premiere for a drone project, like a one-person drone project out of somewhere in California. And it's like just one person, an absurd amount of instruments and just crazy noise experimentation. And the reason it kind of hit me was like, I happened to listen to it for the first time on headphones. And I was like, wow, this is really, you know, and kind of got to hear the depth of it, got to hear the fact that it wasn't just, you know, self-indulgent chicanery. And
I love that word.
Thank you. And so, you know, I'm writing about that because it just kind of got me at just the right moment, at just the right second to hit me just right. So some of it is that at this point, 13 years on, there's a decent amount of stuff I feel obliged to cover, despite, you know, my own level of personal interest. I know that other people who maybe read the site, you know, like a certain band, even if I'm not that into that band at that point. But mostly it's just what speaks to me. If I hear I just bumped a premiere actually to Monday for a band who hit me up out of nowhere. The contact form on the site sent me their record, and it's like super mellow, psyched out, trippy stuff, half folk but half rock, just real sort of mellow, laid back vibes, and but heavy, but with a tonal presence to be heavy. And you know, I don't know who they are. I don't know where they're from, barely. But I was like, you know, you guys are really cool. Can I, you know, you don't have any audio out yet. Can I do this with this announcement? And they were like, yeah, sure. So it's really just that. It's really just something that lands just right. It's more gut than brain, although sometimes ideally it's more gut than brain, I'll say.
Well, what wouldn't be an obelisk band then if it's kind of like on your own judgment?
Something too overtly commercial. Okay. Something too, I have found with sort of the line between heavy rock and hard rock that I am, that there's, it's maybe it's something in the production, maybe it's something in the tone, maybe it's just something in the presentation, but there is a lot that I just gloss over immediately when I see it. And it's like, no, you know, it's too much in one direction or the other. It's too metal, or it's too commercial, or something, you know. I feel like, although even you know, even heavy rock bands and doom bands, there's so much that I can't cover. Maybe if I had infinite time, infinite brain power, and you know, and the dexterity to just keep typing, maybe I would be able to cover all that kind of stuff. But I you know, there's such a teeny niche within a niche within a niche, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what I want to be writing about that I get to write about, that by the time I, you know, by the time an email comes in for something that's not relevant, I barely even see it.
Fair. So, well, kind of explain that a little bit more, because like I've seen you do some pretty heavy stuff over at the Obelisk, but you just said if it's too metal.
It's true, right? You're absolutely right, because I do that and then I cover Meshuggah. You're right.
Yeah, because I'm confused. Like, you're right. Because like, how do we pitch you, JJ?
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay. You're right. I don't like Phil Anselmo.
Fair.
But I like the first Down record.
Okay.
So I don't know, you know, it's nothing's absolute, I guess. You know, I cover Amorphis. Amorphis played New York last night and I didn't go. I'm a little sad about that, but, you know, you're right. Some metal, I came up with metal. I came up and I love, some death metal and I'm not a big black metal guy, but you know, it's there. Mm-hmm. I'll write about Wolves in the Throne Room because I feel somewhat obligated, mm-hmm. Which I also kind of hold against Wolves in the Throne Room. But anyway, it's like, damn you, Wolves in the Throne Room, taking my time. They don't care, right? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Super low stakes. This is all in my head. You see? Mm-hmm. It's terrible. But yeah, no, you're right. I cover some metal. I guess I don't know, man. I guess it's just what speaks to me. And Meshuggah, I mean, that's I've been listening to Meshuggah for 20 odd years. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's right there. But and I love COC. Not that they're metal, but you know, they're a little more commercially minded than some. So I don't know. There is something that to me feels like I can make it work. Okay. If I think there's something interesting to say about a thing, like mm-hmm. more often than not, if I'm applying a direct standard to what I'm going to cover, that's the standard. It's like, what can I say about this? Is there a story here? What is that story? How can I tell that story? Am I interested in telling that story? And a lot of the time, you know, there's stuff that comes through, you know, from varying labels and publicity firms, and I'm very fortunate to have those contacts, and I'm very fortunate to have music coming my way, and I don't take that for granted at all, because that is the difference between the Obelisk and any number of other blogs that start up and go away. Is when I started in 2009, I had those contacts and was able to sort of have the infrastructure behind what I was doing as I was starting out. So I don't take that for granted at all. But there's a lot of stuff that comes my way that it's like I don't see the story, or that the story doesn't speak to me, or that the, you know, whatever it is. But something like, you know, something like Meshuggah is big enough that I don't care if it fits or not. I'm just going to cover it. And I would say the same for Alice in Chains or, you know, whoever else from the 90s, you know, whatever it is. But there's so much that I just kind of don't see that kind of magic for, and a lot of it is metal and a lot of it is commercial. But there's also, you know, I think if you go the other way, there's a pretty fine line between some of what I cover and indie rock.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a, if you have the Venn diagram, right, it's the section of the section of this and the section of this. And so, yeah.
Cool. So there's no real answer. It's just whatever you like.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I guess I gave you the long version of that. Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry.
No, this is what we want. We're on a podcast. We'd rather have this than like, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Mm. So now the next question is, so how do you find the time to cover everything you do? Because you cover an awful lot of stuff. Yeah. And I don't know how the fuck you do it, especially with the little kid. I think you only got one, but if you got two...
I've only got the one, and we're only okay. Gonna have the one. So that's
smart.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, he's enough.
Yeah,
I love him. Yeah. I love being a parent. I do. It's the best job I've ever had, easily, hands down, the best job I've ever had. Even getting kicked in the head before I came up here was the best. It's the best job I've ever had.
Mine are yelling upstairs, so I'm not in that mode right now, but I feel you.
Yeah, no, he's down, you know, he's downstairs. I can hear him. He's plotting around with grandma. This last week I woke up around on either side of 5 a.m. between 4:30 and 5:30. Today I actually slept late, which was because I knew I was going to do this, so I wanted to not be beat by 1 o'clock. Sure. Also, I just slept late, but I'm up early. I try and get an hour before he's awake, that's great. And I write while he's at school, and I write while I take him to speech, and I write on my phone when I have 2 seconds, when he's eating dinner, when he's, you know, when he's doing whatever. If there's a press release that comes in and I'm like, oh, breaking news, you know, I will put it up on my phone while he's doing something else, or, you know, I hate to say it, but in the bathroom, you know, like every sort of opportunity that I can, that I feel like I have the mental space to do that, I am doing that. There is very little. This is going to sound like a brag, but it's really kind of a self-critique, is there is very little more of me that I could give to the Obelisk. There are times where I have to sort of step back and balance and look at the balance that between the rest of my life and this site, because the truth of the matter is, you know, I've never been paid to do this. I'm never going to be paid to do this. You know, what little comes in from merchandise goes right back out the door to Bandcamp, which is by design, mind you. But, you know, it is, at least by some strict definition, a hobby, even if I consider it work. So I have to sort of look at that every now and then and think about sort of how small stakes it all is compared to something like reading to my son, compared to something like, you know, and needing to make this appointment for him to do something, or, you know, whatever it is, to, compared to that kind of thing. Like, I Jesus, daily remind myself, like, you know, this is a thing, but, you know, also you have the rest of this going on. And, you know, even in scheduling this interview, my wife is at a meeting at her on campus, because my wife is a college professor. I'm very fortunate that I do not work in the out of the house sense. Yeah. But my wife has a meeting on campus and I had this interview. And so there was so much juggling between her schedule and my schedule. And, you know, thank goodness my mother was able to come and solve that problem. But it was, you know, we were back and forth and back and forth. So, you know, I try to sort of ride that balance as best I can and do as much as I can whenever I can. That's the short answer. But there is a point at which any given day my brain just peters out. And you know, some days that's early, some days that's later. But guaranteed you're gonna hit that point. And sometimes, you know, that's I enjoy feeling like I have done all I can do at any given point, even as sometimes I'm frustrated not being able to do more. So, you know, I guess the short version is I do the best I can to do as much as I can when I can.
You do an awful lot, that's for sure.
I try. Like, I'm trying. You know, I'm out there, I'm trying. I think I had a 10 post day like a week and a half ago. And that's absurd. But you know, I'm trying to do whatever I can. So
fair enough.
After this, I'm going to sneak in a couple minutes to do a video premiere for somebody. So it's like, you know, I'm plotting.
That's actually a great segue into our next question. Yep. That was like perfect. So there's been kind of a trend with a lot of publications steering away from premieres. But you're sticking with them. Like, so do you feel that premieres still have value to like sites and bands and everything like that? Or do you feel like they're kind of running their course and something you may steer away from in the future?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm happy when someone thinks enough of my work to let me stream an album with a review. Mm-hmm. Or a video or whatever it is. I don't really follow numbers and I don't really follow other blogs at all. So or other sites, like whoever it is, I don't read other sites. So I just kind of do what feels right to me. If premieres are stopping, well, that's fine. I've got stuff lined up into June. So if there's a slowdown, I'm not necessarily seeing it. And I don't know, you know, I guess the entire sort of structure of social, of music as a social media experience is changing, right? I'm seeing bands not on Facebook, but on Instagram, which is hilarious. And bands, you know, dropping their link tree instead of sort of doing, you know, the various things. I don't know. I guess there are probably bands on TikTok by now, but I'm not about to start reviewing records on TikTok. It's just not what I'm interested in doing. I'm interested in writing. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, at the end of the day, like if it's a premiere, it's something that I want to write about, that's great. If it's not a premiere and it's something that I want to write about, well, I'm still going to write about it. There are some things where getting to do the premiere will tip me over the edge on probably fitting it in. But for the most part, like I'm looking at my schedule right now, like for the most part, this is stuff I'd be writing about anyway. That maybe not Sound Animal, which is the video, the drony video premiere I'm doing tomorrow, but that that just happened to hit me just right. So, you know, I there's so much that I want to do, that being able to do it as a premiere is something that helps me focus, first of all. And if it draws more eyes, that's great. And I don't know that it does. I don't have those numbers. I mean, those numbers certainly exist, but I don't, you know, I'd drive myself crazy if I pay any attention to them. So, and really that's not what I want to be doing it for anyway. So.
Fair enough. I have a follow-up on that, which is, what do you feel about exclusive premieres?
I certainly have been in a situation where a premiere has been set up with PR. It has not been exclusive, and I have not been told ahead of time. And I have been a little, not pissed, but like, you know, a heads up would have been nice. Yeah, heads up would have been nice, you know?
Sure.
But really, it doesn't go beyond my opinion on it doesn't go beyond that. It, you know, the internet is huge and full of people doing exactly the thing I do in varying languages, in varying places, coming from varying experiences. So, and that's before you even get into online magazines that have a full staff and whatever else. So, you know, I don't mind if there's a premiere in another language. I don't really, it really is a case of like, it doesn't matter that much. It really, like, the world will go on if I'm doing an exclusive premiere of whatever it is. The world will go on if someone else has it too, in German or some other language or whatever it is, or even if it's, you know, on Metal Injection or whoever it is, you know, anything like that. It doesn't really bother me as long as I know the deal.
Yeah. So it's communication is the key part.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you have to know that's PR, right? I mean, you know, everything is, it's all communication. So that's where I land.
Yep. Fair enough. Corey, did we have any follow-up questions?
No, but I do have another one that is off topic.
Sure.
Sweet. That's the best kind.
Well, off this topic. So you've been doing journalism for a while, and I know how I got started in and what I had to do to get in, but what would be your tips for somebody wanting to get into writing or music journalism or anything like that? Because there's kind of a barrier there to getting your foot in the door. So what's your one tip for that?
It's terrible. If somebody was, I mean, okay, right. Let's say I'm talking to a made up young person who's like, I'm going to be a music journalist. My first and my first response to that is, really? Are you sure? Because there's no money in it. There's no money. And you know, if you do a good job for a while, people might tell you that. But if you screw up once anything, everybody's gonna know. So among appreciated fields, it is not high, even as far as journalism goes, and journalists of all stripes get crapped on generally. But you know, so barring that, if this imagined 20-year-old still wants to proceed, the thing I would say is exactly what I was told, is get an internship. Everybody likes you if you work for free.
That's how I did it.
Yep, that's how I did it. Get an internship. That's exactly what I was told. And I did. I got an internship at the Aquarian, and then I became the editor of the Aquarian. Like, everybody likes you if you start out working for free, especially in music, because nobody has any money, because nobody values art in America. But so that and do it are my big ones. You want to write? Write. Do it. Do it every day. Do it as much as you can. Do it more than you think you can. And some of it will be absolute garbage, and some of it will be not absolute garbage. But in doing it as much as you can, you will find your voice. And that is the most important thing. You will find your way of expressing ideas. You will find your way of engaging with the subject. You will find your way of telling the story that you want to tell. And that is the most important thing. Like, it does not matter. Premieres don't matter. Album reviews don't matter. Interviews don't matter. None of that shit matters if you don't have your voice for real behind it. So write all the time if you want to write. If you don't want to write, your life will probably be easier, unless you want to, like, I don't know, be a heart surgeon. But if it's music journalism or heart surgeon, I'm going heart surgeon anyway for this imagine 20-year-old.
Yep.
But you know, and go out while you're young. Go out and meet people, and go to conferences, go to South by Southwest. As awful as it sounds, it's made for that 20-year-old to go out and shake hands and be seen and see and do that thing. And I did all that stuff for years. I don't now, because I am an old hermit. But you know, I did all that stuff for years. And what that's doing is laying the groundwork for you being a person, for you being present in the field. I hate to say it, but it's true of music journalism as much as it's true of anything. You have to show up and go to shows and meet bands and meet labels and meet PR people and meet promoters and all that stuff. It's all part of the thing. But the most important thing is to write.
So I got one last follow-up, unless Corey does, which is, so do you have any advice for people that are wanting to start a blog, or is it similar to what you just said?
Nah, just do it. Just do it. My advice is have a mobile friendly theme for your blog, right? So it shows up nice on a phone, because I don't. And God, it's
Divi theme. Is a great one, folks. Just tossing that out there if you want
what
to
is?
Start a blog. Divi.
Divi.
Divi is one of the best themes, and it's so freaking easy to use if you're building a WordPress blog. Sorry, just a little
D-I-V-I?
Knowledge ball there. Yep, D-I-V-I. It is. D-I-V-I. I have like a lifetime license to one.
Nice.
And it is like my favorite Ooh. Theme on the planet.
Look at that. That looks, yeah. Okay.
It's sexy, isn't it? It's a great
theme. It looks nice. It looks nice. It's a nice looking theme, I gotta say.
And it's easy to make mobile friendly layouts.
You know, the whole problem, the look of my site drives me nuts, because in 2008, 2009, well, it was, you know, semi-relevant. It was dated even then. But like, yeah, now everything I do is so set up in that theme that I worry if I change the theme, if I change the actual look of the site, the whole thing, I'm going to lose 13 years worth of layout. So it's, yeah, I have yet to pull the trigger on a new theme. One of these days. What was the follow-up question?
Well, advice for people starting up a blog, or if it was the same as what you had for writing.
Oh yeah, just do it.
Cool.
Just do it. The, you know, any barrier to entry, at least as far as the writing goes, is self-imposed. You know, ultimately someone will decide how involved they want to be in the social aspects of the industry of the field they're doing. And that's true in music as well as anything else. You know, any situation, regardless of how corporate it is or whatever. But as far as starting a site, if you want to do that, you should already be doing it. Like, I shouldn't even have time to tell you to do it. It should already be done.
Cool. Awesome. Do you have any final words you want to say before we wrap up?
Just thank you so much, Curtis and Corey, for having me. I very much appreciate the chance to talk. This was great. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome. And with that, party on, Corey.
Party on, guys.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.